My beloved people, the Mass today is that for the Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi, even though it be the second Sunday after Pentecost. We will have benediction after Mass this morning because you have not yet had the opportunity to attend benediction in honor of Corpus Christi. Please bear in mind that this should be an act of reparation to the Blessed Sacrament, especially for all of the desecrations that are taking place against the Blessed Sacrament in the Most Holy Eucharist. So your very special prayers should be acts of reparation to our Blessed Eucharistic Lord. Otherwise, there is nothing else. Oh yes, Friday of this week is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it is not First Friday, but for those who can, I would like to urge you to try to be here for that Mass on Friday, because this too is a very serious feast. As we know today, the honor that is extended to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is certainly slim and very, very threadbare, if at all. So those of us who know it, let us give what the best is that we have to give to make up for that which others cannot give. Other than that, there is nothing else in the bulletin that needs to be mentioned. You can read it for yourselves. There are two thoughts that I wish to take this morning for us to think about briefly. One comes from the epistle. My dear children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the other is coming from the gospel. For I tell you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, we must work to understand the difference between our thoughts and our actions. Many of us, maybe even all of us, have the thought to be understanding, the thought to be charitable, the thought to be good, the thought to be holy, and so on and so on and so on. That's in the mind. Those thoughts reside only in the mind. And as you know too, the temptations reside in the mind. But then when we look at these good thoughts, we're not talking about bad thoughts. Let us think of the good thoughts that we have. How do they translate themselves into action? We say we are charitable. Are we in fact charitable? We say that we are understanding. Are we in fact understanding? And the same for kindness. We say that we do not judge others. But is it a truth? And is it a fact that we do not actually someplace way back in the back of our heads, do place judgment. And when we do place judgment, is that not the same as saying, though we don't say it, though we don't even think it, but is it not the same as saying that somehow I am a better person than the one that I am judging? See, the mind plays all kinds of tricks upon us. And the mind is always tampering with the heart. And because the mind does try to do this, the heart sometimes is involved in some feelings that are really not good, and for which we shall be held accountable. Our Lord says, "For I tell you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper." If we look into the minds and hearts, the hearts perhaps more so than the minds, of those who were invited and who excused themselves and who had all kinds of reasons why they did or why they did not do what they were asked to do. How many of us do not involve ourselves in reasons? We want a reason, we give a reason for doing this, and we give a reason for doing that, and we give a reason for doing the other thing. Do we perhaps think that our reasons absolve us from guilt? Do we think that? The master that was giving the banquet became angry. He was upset. He did not accept the reasons as being valid. Of course, for me, because I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I've simply got to go out and look after them. That, for me, is a valid reason. For me, and for me alone. Objectively speaking, is that a valid reason? Is it? So the master goes out and invites just anybody. Now, as we look at the anybody that the master has invited to the banquet to take my exalted place, because I am exalted, and I am great, and I am wonderful, and I am everything that is good that can be thought about. So the master goes out and invites those who are on the streets and the highways and the hedges, etc., etc. You remember when our Lord was at the banquet and while he was reclined at the table, a certain woman came in. And, of course, I prefer not to mention the descriptive adjective of that particular woman from the pulpit. But every one of us knows who she was, and every one of us knows what she was. And she came in. And she administered to the feet of our blessed Savior. And the Pharisees, who were looking on with much disdain, asked among themselves, if he only knew what kind of person, they might have said, what kind of thing it is that touches him. If he only knew, would he allow her to touch him? My beloved people, let us put ourselves at that same table. And while we sit there with all of our beauty and all of our holiness and all of our goodness and uprightness and upstandingness, and we had a guest of honor come in, and we thought highly of this guest of honor. That's why we invited him to come and sit at the table with us. And we prepared a very special meal for this guest of honor of ours. And while he was seated there at the table, he, and a very prominent man at that, and one of the local ladies, whom we shall not give a proper name to, and a well-known one at that, came in and paid homage to him and administered to him in a way proper to our time in the same similar situation as with our Lord in his time. My beloved people, let's be honest. Not only would we have thoughts concerning this person, but would we even allow, would we permit this person to even enter our house? I'm not saying by this that we should tolerate what the person is guilty of. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a human soul that was created by Almighty God in his own image and likeness, and that human soul has as much right to heaven as I have. How dare me cast her out? The way that our Lord operated is certainly not the way that we operate, is it? And sometimes we find ourselves judging others when our Lord did not judge them. He did not in his own mind judge her and put her in her place and embarrass her and cringe from her or show the slightest degree of discomfort when she touched him. But rather, he gave her the kindness that she deserved. And as a matter of fact, as we know the rest of the story, who was it that was first that he appeared to? I'm sure he appeared to his mother. That's not recorded. We don't know anything about it, but we know the communication between Jesus and Mary. We know that, so we're not talking about that here and now. But as far as we are concerned, who was it that our blessed Lord appeared to first before all others after he came back from the dead? What a special privilege to one of such ill repute. Charity. We talk charity. We talk charity very much. We give charity, but in a kind of a patronizing way. We see the poor person, as it were, and we'll reach in our pockets, maybe, and give the poor person a dollar. I'm not speaking of that kind of charity, or $10, or $20, or $30. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the warmth that should be in our hearts. What kind of warmth is in our hearts for those who have less, either morally, or physically, or spiritually, or financially than ourselves? What kind of warmth? People think that we can go out, and in recent years, by recent now, I forget that recent for me can be 15, 20, 25, 30 years. I consider 20 or 30 years as very recent. But we know in recent years, 20, 25, 30 years, we've gone out and worked in the inner city. And of course, in the inner city, we pick up and try to deal with those who are in bad shape, in whatever way you want to look at it. Do we give from our hearts on an equal basis with those who have less than we, or do we keep ourselves on a pedestal and reach down to those that have less than we? The Pharisees reached down. Didn't they? Didn't the one who came up to the temple to pray, he thanked God that he was better than the one in the back? The Pharisees reached down. And when that woman came into the house, they reached down. Our blessed Lord did not reach down. He reached across. He reached across, and he gave to her that which she needed. And when he said to her simply, he didn't give her a sermon or a lecture or ask her why she did this and why she did that and why this and why that and why the other thing, you know. We learned the word why back in the 60s and 70s. And we use why every time we turn around. And to me, the word why is a three-letter word as opposed to a four-letter word. He didn't embarrass her. He simply said to her, go out, my dear, and sin no more. That was the end of the discussion. Nothing more was said. None of this, well, I don't understand why you do this, and I don't understand why you do that, and why do you do these things, and why? There was not a single why in his question, in his approach to Mary Magdalene. He simply said, go out, daughter, and sin no more. We've got a lot of work to do. We call ourselves Catholic, call ourselves Christians, and we are. But we have to learn more definitely what it means to be Christian, what it means to be Catholic. And we have to be very, very careful, too, that we don't apply to the word Christian or to the word Catholic our own personal, private, preferred definitions. The only definition for Christian and Catholic that we are permitted to speak and to use is the definition that Jesus Christ himself gave these words. And if we veer from that even the slightest degree, personal preference walks in. Personal opinion walks in. Remember that in the last couple of weeks, we have been pushing the story of the Tower of Babel. Now, you shouldn't use the word pushing, but we have spoken of the Tower of Babel. And we've also spoken of the Tower of Man. And we knew and we know what the punishment was for those who were building the Tower of Babel, and that was confusion of tongues. Today, our punishment is confusion of thought. And in this confusion of thought, which incidentally I feel pretty good about it because I've mentioned it to two very great thinkers, I think. They might be misunderstood, but for other reasons. But I mentioned this to two prominent thinkers during this past week, and they said, well, never thought of that. Well, I'm glad the seed is being planted. But today, everyone, in this confusion of thinking, in this confusion of thought, feels that it is his right to have his opinion, to feel that what he thinks is correct. And you're very quickly, if you try to say something to somebody sometimes, you could get the very quick answer of, well, that's your opinion. I have a feeling a Pharisee said the same thing to Jesus on more than one occasion. To the extent that in keeping up with their own opinion, they led him up the mountain of Calvary. My dear people, let us be careful how we assess things. Let us be certain that in the assessment of things, we have the knowledge that causes us to make a proper assessment. Some of us speak without information. I have to tell you this before I quit because it's a funny. I was in college once upon a time. And it was once upon a time. And you know, when you're in college, especially if you're going from the sophomore to the junior year, you really think yourself to be a real student, a real intellectual. Well, I was in ethics class that particular time, and of course I felt all of the strength that my position as a student should have. And I enjoyed my strength. Well, it so happened that the professor, and I mention his name because I have nothing but reverence for him, a man by the name of Father Bernard. I sure do wish that Father Bernard were around today. I know his voice would be heard. At any rate, we're talking about Dante and the Divine Comedy. You know, the Divine Comedy is divided into three parts, paradise and purgatory and hell. Well, I don't remember now which one it was, but at any rate, I had said, oh, Father Bernard, I read El Paradiso last night. And Father Bernard said, oh, Father Leonard, really? Indeed. You read El Paradiso last night in one sitting? Wonderful. I have four PhDs. And I have been, so far, all of my life, and I haven't been through El Paradiso completely yet. I'm still studying it. But you read it all last night. Wonderful. When he got finished with me, my dear people, I felt, well, there's not a measurement for how little I felt. But you see, the point that he was making was, there I was, completely uninstructed, completely uninformed, and I knew all about it. Well, after that, Father Bernard didn't have to remind me anymore of how nothing it was that I knew. So, let us look at things in the proper perspective as we go about life, and we will find a change, a goodness, a kindness, a warmth that will let Mary Magdalene's walk into our lives, and that we will reach across to Mary Magdalene's and give the Mary Magdalene's that little grain that just might be what is necessary to cause the Mary Magdalene's to enter heaven and to be with their Lord. Perhaps it was because something went wrong someplace, sometime, that caused these good women to become Mary Magdalene's. But for the grace of God, but for the grace of God.